You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
A few weeks ago, I started a series on prayer. And actually, I started several weeks ago, taught on three keys to answered prayer and on a Wednesday night. On Wednesday nights, we've been doing this. And you remember we talked about first find it in the Word, you know, find the will of God. If you don't pray the will of God, you're not going to get anything, no question about it. But the will of God is findable, it's reachable, it's touchable. It's in His Word. God's Word is His will. And so when you find it in the Word, then that's the starting point of any prayer. You say, well, my prayer starts with my need. Well, you know, actually, God's not moved by your need. I don't mean to be cold or callous. Actually, He's even better than that. He's already moved on your need. He moved on your need 2,000 years ago. So the idea that God's not compassionate, oh, He's more compassionate than you can ever dream or imagine. He anticipated you having problems and made provision for you before it ever happened. In case it did happen, in case you do need it, He made provision. So let's find what His promise is and find it in the Word. And then let's pray. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. That's our authority in the new covenant we have. We don't come to God on our merits and our goodness, and we don't come with our, you know, our great intelligence. Hallelujah. Thank God we're not left at the mercy of our intellect. Amen. We come to Him on the basis of what Jesus did. And that has to do with salvation. It has to do with answered prayer. Same thing. So we come in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we come in faith. Real simple. You know, because without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, that all things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe. And you shall have them. And Matthew 21:22 says, all things you ask in prayer, believing, Jesus again said, believing you shall receive. So simply put, I mean, it's, you know, you could probably add another one about praising God after you get through. There's probably some other things. But basically, find the Word, find the promise, and pray in Jesus' name. There's your right. There's your worthiness. There's your, amen. There's your goodness. Hallelujah. There's your favor. Pray in His name, and then pray in faith. Just believe God meant what He said. Not that complicated. Amen? It's not deep. And that's concerning prayer for yourself. I understand that. There's different kinds of prayer. There's intercessory prayer. There's prayers of worship and consecration and, you know, all those things. But if you're praying for yourself, those are simple rules to go by. A couple weeks ago, went over Ephesians, the first chapter, and talked about the prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, a prayer for wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of God. You know, about the eyes of our understanding being lightened and that we know what is the hope of His hope of our calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saint, and what is the greatness, exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. What kind of power? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. You know, it just blows me away when I think of that prayer and how Paul is praying that you and I would get an insight at revelation, just a glimpse of the kind of power that is to us. The Amplified says to and in us. That's in us as Christians, believers. We've lived so far below our rights and privileges as Christians. So far below not only, you know, our expectations, other expectations, but God's expectations. Don't you think God doesn't have expectations of you? He's got great expectations of you, greater than you have. He really believes you can do more than you. He knows you can do more than you're doing. Are you with me? I mean, our lives and our gift and our talents and what God has done in our lives is kind of like a 10-speed bicycle. We never do use all the gears. There's a lot more gears left. Are you with me? So, you know, he's praying. Paul's just praying. He's praying for the church there that they know what is the exceeding greatness of His power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. I mean conquered hell, death, and the grave and came up victorious. Beat the devil at his own game. Took his greatest weapon, took his greatest punch, as it were, death. And through death, he destroyed death. Wow, what a strategist. Any war strategist, the greatest thing they can do is take what the enemy, he knows the enemy is going to do, what the enemy is good at, what the enemy does every time, his best punch, his best strategy, his best shot. He knows he's going to do it, and he knows it's going to happen. And if he's a good war strategist, he's going to turn that thing around on that enemy. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He turned it completely around on the devil. The devil thought he destroyed him when he killed him. He thought when he died, that was going to be it. But the Bible says through death, Jesus destroyed death and delivered us, who through all of our lifetime were in bondage through fear of death. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Now, that's an awesome thing, but that's the kind of power that is toward us who believe and in us who believe, if we just knew that. And I think some things you can study and some things you can read and memorize and some things you're just going to have to pray to get. And that's what Paul was saying there in Ephesians, really. For this cause I pray. He didn't say for this cause I preach, for this cause I teach, for this cause I live right and do these things. All those are important. I teach, I preach, I live right. But some things you just got to pray. You got to pray into people and you got to pray it into yourself. Praying won't take the place of teaching and preaching, but teaching and preaching won't take the place of praying. Are you out there? And so we talked about that. And then we got into Ephesians, the third chapter. Oh, hallelujah. Started last week on the prayer of Ephesians 3. And you know, when I go through these, try it by all means to make these personal. You know, the end of all knowledge is action. It really is. It's not to memorize. It's not to debate with. It's not with to look smart, you know. Although I memorize a lot of quotes, makes me look pretty smart. But that's not what it's for. That's not the reason. Hopefully we're living this thing. Amen. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So when we look at this and we went over that prayer in Ephesians 1, well, you pray that prayer. Pray that prayer for the church. That's the context of it. He was praying it for a church. But then take it and make it personal too. Because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Amen? What's good for the church is good for me. I often take that thing and just personalize it. God grant me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of you, the eyes of my understanding being light, that I would know what is the hope of your call, the riches, the glory, your inheritance in the saints. Me, I'm a saint. You know, I put myself in there. Make it personal. And pray it for the church. Hallelujah. Always, in every case. And then act on it. Do it. Act on it. Institute it somehow into your life. I'll tell you, the only thing that's going to bring you to another level is change. That's all. Every innovation, every new invention, every new step in modernization or whatever. I got something flying around me. I think it's stuck in my hairspray. Every step up, it all came through change. Somebody had to change. Somebody had to do something different. And, you know, I always say this. I heard Rodney Howard Brown say this years ago. There's two things you need to come to church with, or come with this attitude. You need to come hungry, and you need to come willing to change. I'm hungry for your word, God, and I am willing to change when you tell me what I need to do, when you show me what it is I need to do. Sometimes it's not always a negative. A lot of times it's just a positive thing you need to start doing. Maybe you're doing fine. You don't need to quit anything. But you need to start doing some things or reinforce some things in your life, you know, that you hadn't been doing, slipping. Okay, Ephesians 3. Well, we went through the first few verses here, and y'all just took up so much of my time last week I didn't finish. But he starts in that 14th verse and talks about, just real quickly, we went over some of these verses, and I'll try to speed up to that point. For this cause I bow my knees. For this cause I don't miss that, see? Don't miss that. Some things that you need to bow your knees for, okay? You need to bow your knees for. You need to pray for some things. Some things you can work out. Some things you can study out. Hello. Some things you just need to pray out. You need to get on your knees and pray. And Paul was praying, and he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Oh, get that revelation. God's your Father, not just God. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's not talking about Jesus here. He's talking about the Father of Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is something Jesus drilled into us, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's a revelation that they had a hard time with in the Old Testament, especially under the law, is the fact that God was our Father. Wow. He's not our God, the maker, the man upstairs. The Bible's not the good book. Are you with me? All these terms we use. You ready to meet your maker, the man? No, he's our Father. Who really wants a relationship with us? I don't know about you, but I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I wish I had my grandkids first. No, I'm kidding. I love them all. It's payback time. I love having grandkids. You know, you just pump them full of candy and send them back home. And where I am, I can see the houses. Yeah, I like to watch what goes on, you know, when bouncing off the walls when they go back to mama. I'm just kidding. I love my children. God loves me more than that. I hope you had a good daddy. I do. But if you didn't, you got one now. Absolutely. And if you had a good one, I'll tell you what, if you had a good daddy, you're miles ahead of a lot of Christians because you have an example to go by. You can think of God in terms of how good your daddy is and just step that up several notches. And you might just get a little close, but you're not going to get all the way because God's better than anything you could dream or imagine. But the best daddy you could ever dream or imagine, that's your daddy. That's God. That you could, and if you didn't have a good one, well, you know, don't lay that over on God, okay? Don't lay that over in your Christian life. Don't lay that over in your preaching, your teaching, if you're a minister. Don't do that. I will never do that. You know, my dad did the best he could. He's in heaven right now. And, you know, I don't know what he fought. He fought a lot of things. He had his issues. Everybody has issues. But, you know, I got saved, and it's up to me now. There's no blame game going on. There's no feelings going on. There's no bitterness or anything like that. I thank God for my dad, my mom, and all that they did. You know, nobody's perfect. Come on, you can just pick and choose all day long. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. And, well, do something about it. Pray for your parents and go on. You don't know what they were going through. You don't know what was going on in their life. Maybe they didn't know what you know. I don't know. Now, if you had some good parents, well, praise God. You're way ahead. But the point is now we're Christians and we're believers and we have a new father, a new family. Amen? And when we talk to God, we're talking to our daddy who loves Abba, Father. Thank God, not Allah. Are you with me? He's not the God of... This is not the same God, okay? This God we serve is not the Muslim God. He's not the God of Islam. That is no way, form, or fashion the same God you and I serve. We don't all serve the same God. Christians serve the God, the one, the true God, who is our Father. And we didn't get into this religion by doing anything. We got into this religion by calling on His name and accepting Jesus and being born again. And we're in a family, not a religion. Woo. God is one and He has many sons. The mantra on the Islam faith is God is one, He has no son. Allah is one, He has no son. Actually, God is one and He has lots of sons. Lots of daughters. Got lots of kids, a lot of children. Well, anyway, I'm reviewing very fast, aren't I? Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, I'm determined to get everybody out here 10, 15 after 8 on Wednesday nights. I know we have school and, you know, to honor that and so on and so forth. But my reviewing is notorious. You probably need it. Blaise Pascal said we need prayer for three reasons. He said first to God instituted prayer for three reasons. To give us the creature's creation the dignity of causality. That's the way he worded it. He gave us, through prayer, he gave us the right to make a difference, to make a change, to cause things to happen. You know, prayer changes things. It doesn't change God, it changes things. And God gave us this right and this honor to be a part of changing things. When I see something going on, I can pray, hallelujah, and change it. I don't have to put up with it. And I have a part in it. I'm not a puppet on a string. I'm not, you know, this is not Pinocchio here. We're not statues waiting to come alive. We've been born again. We're already alive. We've already passed from death to life. And so he gave us prayer so that we can have some dignity, the dignity of causality, of making things happen. And he secondly gave it to us to teach us from where we get our power. We get our power from God. Every time you pray, you do that. You're running to where your strength comes from. You're running to where your power comes from. Doesn't come from the world. Doesn't come from the problems of life. Doesn't come from the government. God bless the government. But it doesn't come from the government. Your strength comes from God. And prayer proves that. And prayer reminds you of that. And prayer burns that inside of you. Every time you pray, you're saying, hey, I don't have to put up with this. I can change this. I'm going to get to God and pray. And I, in faith with God, can make a difference. And you're saying, secondly, I know where my power comes from. I know where my strength comes from. It comes from God. If I can just get to the prayer closet, if I can just get on my knees, hallelujah, we can make a difference here. All I got to do is pray. I'm not in a box. I'm not trapped, hallelujah. And thirdly, he gave us prayer, instituted prayer, to make us earn other virtues by our efforts. I love that, because you cannot stay in prayer. You cannot go to God continually. You cannot continually petition God when things go wrong in your life or others have needs in their life and be a part of changing their life and then remind yourself that you have this power. You can't do that without you changing too. I love that. I'm a better man because I pray. I'm not just a part of what God's doing, making something happen. I'm not just walking in a revelation of power coming from God. That's part of it, yeah. But I'm absolutely becoming a better man. And you can become a better man and a better woman as you pray. It changes you. Amen? So Paul's praying. He's praying. I love it. To the Father. That's what it says, to the Father. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's what Jesus told us to do after this manner of prayer. Therefore, our Father which art in heaven. And then he goes on, 16th verse says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by a spirit in the inner man. Glory to God, somebody. Hallelujah. Are you out there? That he would grant you according to not the world's riches, not your intellect, not your talent or ability or your goodness, but he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, woo, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Y'all remember Pastor Don Murphy preaching one time, and I don't know if y'all were here, but he came one time and he had a Dr. Pepper can. And I think he had an empty one, and he had a full one. And he put them up there, and he said, you know what? These two cans look identical. And I can't preach like Brother Don can. I mean, he's a preaching machine. He'd already run halfway across his building just in that short time I just mentioned his name. But he says, you know, you've got on the outside, they look the same. But he said, what you don't know is one of them's empty, one of them's full. And he said, you know, I'm pretty strong. I work out all the time, which he does. You know, he's always boxed. You know, may not know that about Don, but he's always been a boxer, always boxed. Even after he got saved, he would go to, you know, boxing clubs and box and so on and so forth. And anyway, he was saying, you know, he see this can right here? Looks just like this other can. He said, watch this. And he just squeezed it, and it just collapsed. And then he grabbed this other can, and he squeezed, and he squeezed, and he told us how strong it was several times. And he squeezed, and he told us he worked out and all that stuff. And he squeezed and squeezed, and he couldn't make a dent. He said, you know what the difference is? What's on the inside makes a difference. And he said, we may look like everybody else. We may look like that person that went under, you know, with that situation that hit us. We may look like that person that just lost it all when this happened to them, the things happened to us. But see, we got something on the inside of us. And there's no amount of pressure can crush us. If you got strength on the inside, you can survive anything that comes at you on the outside. That's what Paul is praying, that we have this kind of supernatural spirit, Holy Ghost strength that comes only by God, from the riches of his glory in heaven. We're not talking about man's strength. We're not talking about what man can do. We're not talking about positive attitude. All those things are important. I believe in positive confession, positive attitude. I believe in all that. But if I don't get to God and get in his presence and get the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost moving on the inside of me, I don't have the strength in me that I need to meet the needs of this world and meet the crisis of this world and the oppositions of this world and the pressures that push on me and push on you. Are you with me? So why we need to pray? Wow. Well, there's a good one right there, wouldn't you think? I need to pray that I get strength on the inside. I can handle the pressures that come against me. It's not what happens to you in life. It's what you, it's how you respond to what happens to you. What happens to you happens to everybody. Think about it. I mean, sometimes we're so special. Stay with me. I know when you hurt, you hurt. Now, I've hurt myself. You cut me, I bleed. But we've got to get back on our feet again. We got to get back on the road, and we got to keep going. You need to realize, and I heard this a long time ago, whatever happens to you, it's happened to somebody else too. Probably going to happen again. They had choices, and you do too. You can go under, or you can go over. You can stand up, you can pray, you can seek God. You can make a difference and help somebody else when it happens to them. Or you can just lose it. Are you with me? That's not the way to go. Are you with me? You may lose it one day. I'm not saying you don't. You may. I've cratered too. You know, I've had a lot of days I've just felt like a shell of a man. I didn't think I could make it another day. Sometimes I blubbered too, you know. Nothing wrong with blubbering, but you got to get back up on your feet again someday. You got to get back up and say, okay, we're going to get through this thing. I'm going to call on God. I'm going to thank him and praise him and worship him for his strength and his comfort and his might and his power and his spirit. start worshiping Him and start praying His prayer. And strength will come on the inside of you. Hallelujah. That the world doesn't know anything about. And they can write all their books and they can put out all their movies. And, you know, and we can even have all these experiences of people that we know that didn't make it. But you know what? You can make it. You can make it. Don't you believe the lie. Don't you take it. Don't you believe it. That's what Paul's praying. Inner strength. I love that. On the basis of His glory, of the riches of His ability and His resources. One translation says, in proportion to the wealth of His glory. I like that. Inner strength in the inner man. 17th verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. Boy, that pretty much says it all. You know, what do I need to do? You need to love God and you need to love people. Well, I know, but give me some rules. You need to love God and you need to love people. Yeah, but how do I do this and how do I do that and what I do here and what I do? Okay, you need to love God and you need to love people. You think if you did that you'd be hurting somebody? Yeah, well, you probably don't need to do it. Are you with me? You think that's going to show Jesus if you do that? Probably don't need to do that. Are you out there? You think God would be happy with that? Probably not. Well, don't do it. Love God, love people. It's not complicated. Pretty simple stuff, really. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. See, that's just a mouthful, that whole thing. If Christ is going to be home in my, if He's going to feel comfortable in my home, if He's going to sit down on my couch and watch the shows I watch and have the conversations I have, then I probably need to care for what I watch and care for what I say. Are you with me? I want Him to be comfortable. I want Him to dwell in me. I want Him to dwell in my house, in my heart, by faith, that I would be rooted and grounded in love. I want to trust God. I want to live my life trusting God, not being so stinking negative all the time about everything that's going on in the world. I don't like a lot of stuff going on in the world, but I'm trusting God for me and my house and my family and this church. Are you with me? We got to trust God. We got to get our eyes on the Lord. I've got something to say. I don't believe these things are right and those things are right. And I don't like everything that's going on. And I ask me and I'll tell you, but I tell you what, I'm believing God too and I'm trusting Him and I've got my faith in Him because that's the only thing that makes Him comfortable, as it were, that pleases Him, and that's my faith. It doesn't please God when I don't trust Him and when I don't believe Him and don't turn things over to Him and I don't pray. He's not comfortable in that. You ever been around somebody, you just get uncomfortable because they're just... just so negative about everybody and everything. And you leave and you think, man, I got to go take a bath. Hello? It's not to say we don't talk about things and address subjects, but, you know, there ought to be a spirit, a positive spirit about you. Hallelujah. We're trusting God. Glory to God. See, that shows His presence. That's where He dwells. He dwells in that kind of house. God shows up. There's like a presence, like anointing. It's almost tangible. That's around somebody that's always talking the Word, talking positive, you know, and compassionate and caring and encouraging and lifting people. You know, and you don't even realize it. You don't know it, but you've just been in the presence of God. You walk away from that kind of relationship or that kind of conversation, you feel better. You feel like $1 million. Why is that? Because you've just been in the presence of Jesus. Well, no, I was just by so-and-so over there. Well, yeah, they were just encouraging you and praying for you, and God loves that He's at home there. He's on a couch with you. Amen? So He's asking us to, Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith that we be rooted and grounded in love. Make us home. Be at home. Be comfortable, as it were, in our house. Faith makes God comfort. Negativity doesn't. Ephesians 3:18. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height. This is progressive. Okay? In other words, if you go through this prayer, you know, you start out, he starts out talking about fellowship, you know, first, obviously, or strength first, and then fellowship, spending time with God. And then he talks about walking in love, as it were, and then comprehending love. Are you out there? And so you see a progression here. You comprehend love by walking in it. You know, this is something, you know, you got to do it to get it. If that makes any sense. If you don't do it, you don't get it. If you don't love, you're not going to understand love. If you don't walk it, if you're not rooted and grounded in love, you're not going to comprehend love. Isn't that right? Because you walk in it first, and then you comprehend it. You do it because God says it, but as you do it, you begin to get grounded in it. You know, the Bible even talks about those who by reason of use, wise people who by reason of use can handle strong meat. Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have become to discern good and evil. A lot of times we're not using it, so we're not good at it, and we're not able to go, you know, we're still eating on baby food. We still got to put everything in a blender. Hello. Because we haven't really developed the ability to chew because we hadn't been using it. And sometimes we're not ready for the next level in our walk with God because we hadn't been faithful in the level that we're in. Pure and simple. And love, you say, well, I just want more love. Well, love more. Love more and you'll get more love. Well, I just want to understand love. Well, more love more and you'll understand love. Believe God more and you'll understand faith more. Pray about more things and you'll understand faith better. Pure and simple. Well, when I understand it, I'll go do it. No, it says through faith we understand. It doesn't say through understanding we have faith. Are you out there? I think St. Augustine said that. He says, the Bible says through faith we understand. He says, understanding is the reward of faith. Faith's not the reward of understanding. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. Good. Hallelujah. So love, so that you can understand love. Does that make sense? Do what you can with what you got. Reach out to people. And that's what he says, to know the love of Christ. After you've done all that, then you know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ is passive knowledge. If you want to understand the height, the depth, the breadth, the length, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, natural knowledge, it passes it, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Wouldn't you like to have God in you? I mean, the power of God emanated in you. Well, love. Love's what does that. Woo. And as you walk in it, then the fullness of God's made evident. Think about these things he says here before I close out here. He prays that we'd be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, to have strength. He prays that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. That's to have fellowship with God. Fellowship with Jesus. That's two fellows in the same ship. Amen. He prays that we be rooted and grounded in love. That's to walk in love. And in doing so, he prays that we comprehend and to know the love of Christ, to know love. And what will all that do? It'll fill us with the fullness of God, to be full of God. I love that. So this prayer is to have strength, to have fellowship, to walk in love, to know love, and to be full of God. And it's progressive. You can't start at the bottom and go up. You can't start down there at full of God and then go back to having strength. You get strength first. And then with the strength of God, you know, you're able to fellowship with God. And you're able to fellowship with God, then you're able to start walking in love. And as you walk in love, you're starting to comprehend and know love. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you're full of God. Good. And he says this, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh my goodness, I just don't have time to finish anything anymore. According to the power that worketh in us. I can read Amplified in that too. Let me have the Amplified. Oh boy. No glasses. Amplified 3:20. Okay. Read that. Where's your microphone? Listen to this. You're going to love this. Amplified 3:20. Amplified.
Now to him who by, in consequence of, the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that is that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.
Wow. Is that powerful? I mean, more than you could ever imagine. Infinitely beyond all that. But it comes back down to what's working in us. You know, we often say, well, why didn't God do that for him? Why didn't God do that for her? Why did God do that for them and not for them? And on and on and on. Well, you know, we limit God. There was a book one time, it was Dr. Roy Hicks. It was called Untying the Hands of God. And on the front cover were these hands, and they were obviously God's hands, you know, in the picture, tied up. And it said, Untying the Hands of God on the top, and then underneath it says, The Enigma of Unanswered Prayer. Why is it that prayers don't get answered? Well, because we tie God's hands. Are you out there? Why is it this happens and that happens? Well, many times we have limited God. We've tied his hands. You say, well, I don't know about all that. Well, do you think God wants anybody to go to hell? He wishes that none should perish, doesn't he? That's his will. That's what he wants, what he desires. But did you know everything God wants and desires doesn't happen? That's what Scripture says. Because you and I both know a lot of people go to hell. In fact, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Why is that? Because not everybody calls. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Scripture says. And so even in prayer, for salvation, think about it, it still takes you to pray. You must call. And in our own life, in our personal life, our marriages, our businesses, our children, our health, our mental state, and so on and so forth, God many times is just waiting on us to pray. We don't want to limit him because he does everything in consequence or according to the power that worketh in us. And if you don't have it working in you, then it's not going to work out of you. Because this thing, we're in this thing together. We're builders together with the Lord. We're waiting on him. He's waiting on us. Hallelujah. But if any man and anyone makes a stand, if anybody calls and cries out on his name, he's watching over his word to perform it. He's just waiting on someone to get in agreement with him. Hallelujah. If any two agree is touching anything, it shall be done. Hallelujah. That's you and God. That's two agreeing right there. Amen. And Paul's drilling that into him. Unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So we're still in this process. Amen. God wants to share power. He wants to share love. He wants to share control. God didn't make us to rule over us. He made us to share his rule. He's not the king of slaves. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He didn't even make us. You know, he didn't make us so he could have somebody to love. God already had love. God is a society. He's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He's always been more than one. He's always been Elohim, plural. Are you with me? He made us not to have someone to love. He made us to share the love he already had. He didn't make us to have a society. He made us to share the society he already had. He didn't make us to rule over us. He shared us. He made us to, I get it out. He made us to share the rule and authority that he had. That's the first thing he told man, is to have authority. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we talk about God doing things in the earth. You know, he made us to do things in the earth. And prayer is one of those ways that we do this. That's when we hook up with him. That's when we work together with God.